Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Romans, chapter number 12. We'll get started with the message this morning. I preached last Sunday at Midway Baptist. I was over there last Sunday, and I preached for them. And I preached on knowing the will of God. And I want to come back today and try to help us here at Heritage kind of continue that thought, continue with that sermon on knowing the will of God. And we can know the will of God. Some people say that you can't know God's will. There's the crowd that says you can't know that you're saved. They say that you can't know the will of God. They say there's a lot of uncertainties of the Bible. There's a lot of hidden mysteries of the Bible. And I'm here to say that is incorrect. You can know that you're saved. You can know that because the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 5, these things are written that ye may know that you have eternal life. So we can know that we're saved. And we can know the will of God. The Scripture says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so we can know the will of God. I'll share with you briefly what I shared last Sunday, then I'll get to my message. But there is the general will of God. Then there's the specific will of God. The general will of God we find in the book of Genesis, where God desired, God's will was to create. And God did that. That was His will. It is expressed in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That was God's will that things were created. All things were created by Him and for Him. Amen. We know that according to Scripture. So that is the general will of God, that creation was made by Him. And then also that God created man. That is the general will of God. Not to just create heavens and earth, but also to create man. That was the will of God. It's expressed in Scripture that this was the will of God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So we know in the general will of God, that is God's will, that creation was made, all things were created, that Adam and Eve was created, that was the will of God. We also know that there's the part of the general will of God is that all people be saved. Amen? It is not God's general will, it is not God's will whatsoever, that any die and go to hell. The Bible says in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the will of God, that every born person will have everlasting life. That's God's will. Amen. That's the general will. Not only was it His will to create, not only was it His will to have the heavens and the earth and create man, but it's God's will that all men be saved. The Bible teaches us that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says there, who will have all men saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So we know that it's God's will that every man everywhere, man, woman, boy, and girl, all be saved and come to know Christ as their Savior. That is the will of God. All right, we understand that. We know that. The Bible also says it's God's will that this would provide Christ coming to the world, God giving His Son, John chapter 3, verse 16, that it was to provide salvation for all believers. It was His will that Christ die on the cross. Amen? That wasn't something that was a mistake. It wasn't something that's fictional. It was real. It happened, and that was God's will that those things happen. John chapter 6, verse 40, this is the will of Him that sent me, Jesus said, that everyone should seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is the will of God. And we can know the will of God according to Scripture. Amen. We know that God's not willing that any should perish. We know that God gave His only begotten Son for the entire world, not a select few. Amen. That does away with Calvinism. Amen. Not a select few, but for the entire world, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we know that is the will of God, that all men everywhere be saved. And that is the will of God, that none should perish. 2 Peter 3:9, we find there in that verse of Scripture, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, that some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. That is the express will of God for all sinners everywhere to be saved. But if they reject the will of God, we talked about this a little bit last Sunday, and I'm going to touch it real quickly. If they reject the will of God, if they reject the Son of God, they reject the gospel, there is punishment. Amen. There's a place that's called hell. God sends, allows people that die, that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. If they reject the gospel, then He allows them to go into eternal punishment in a place called hell. I want to say this morning because there's so much false doctrine, so much false teaching in our day. There's a crowd that says that hell is annihilation. Whenever an individual dies without Jesus Christ, now they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they try to preach the King James Bible, and they say that Christ is the only way to heaven, amen, they teach that, but in their teachings they say that hell is annihilation. Once you die without Jesus Christ, you go to hell and you're annihilated. That means your life is over with. That's not the teachings of the Scripture. Just as much as the believer has the promises of eternal life in heaven, amen, there is eternal punishment in the place called hell. They're not annihilated. They'll spend eternity throughout the ages in the place called hell and the lake of fire burning forever and forever and forever. Amen. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, you think that God's a God of love. Somebody told me the other week that God is a God of love. He's not a God of hate, and He doesn't make people sick, and He doesn't do things like that. That's not lining up with Scripture, amen? The Bible says that God hates sin, and He judges the sinner, amen? And so if a sinner dies and goes to hell, it's not God's fault that they do that. It's their fault. They've rejected the free choice, the free will of God. God has given every man, every boy, and every girl, every woman, give everybody a choice whether they go to heaven or whether they die and go to hell. Amen? And they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the punishment for that is a place that's called hell. The Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 41, God said that hell, listen now, was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what it was prepared for originally. But if those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the unbelievers, will go to hell. But God allows that unwillingly. Amen? Y'all with me? He allows that to happen, but He's not willing that that happens. There's things in the life of a believer God allows to happen, but not always the will of God. He's not willing that those things happen, but they happen. Because a lot of times we disobey. Amen? We don't heed the Word of God, we don't hear the Word of God, and we disobey God. And therefore things happen. Somebody told me the other day that God don't allow nobody to get sick. I said, well, I'm sorry to argue with you about that, but my Bible teaches me different. Amen? The James talks about let those that are sick pray, amen, and the prayer of faith to heal the ones that are sick, amen. If any have sin in their life, to confess that, amen. There's a lot of sickness because of sin, amen. And listen, that's how things happen. Whenever you disobey God, you get out of the will of God, get away from the fellowship of God. God allows sickness in people's life for them to see where they're going, the direction they're taking, and the loss of fellowship they have with the Lord. Amen? That's the will of this. He does that willingly. He'd rather all men obey. Amen? But there's times when those things happen. Listen, God chastens His children. He chastens the believer because they get out of the will of God, and He chastens them. And the Bible teaches me that if you're not chastened by God when you're out in sin, if it doesn't convict your heart the things that you're doing, if it doesn't bother you, if you can sin and lay your head down at night and not have any consequences at all, it doesn't bother you at all. The Bible says, not Brother McMillan, not Pastor McMillan, but the Bible says you're bastards and not sons. What does that mean? That means you don't have a father. Amen. You're not saved. If you can lay that at night, you can see it and be out of the will of God and it not bother you. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, if I miss my morning prayer time, it bothers me. Somebody help me, amen? If I miss my Bible reading, it bothers me. The Holy Ghost begins to convict me. Say, son, you didn't read your Bible like you're supposed to. Or you didn't pray this morning like you're supposed to. I mean, the least little thing that comes that I miss out on, it bothers me. And that's how I know that I'm saved by the good grace of God. And that I'm in the will of God when things like that bother me. Amen? That's good preaching if I am doing it. Amen? We find here, though, that there's times in the believer's life where sickness comes in. Now listen real close. Not all sickness is because of sin. I can back that up with Bible, amen? Paul even talked about that to the church. Not all sickness is because of sin. Paul himself had a thorn in the flesh, amen? It wasn't because he had sinned. It was just something that God put in there for him to remember the grace of God, amen? Listen, that helped him in his work and in the ministry. So not all sickness is because of sin. Amen? All right? But things like that happen, and God allows those things to happen. But there's a lot of things that happen that God, it's not God's will for those things to happen, but they happen. He allows and He does it unwillingly. All right? And so we're looking that you can know the will of God. How can I know the will of God? We can know the will of God because it's written in the Word of God. Amen. We know that it is God's will that all men be saved. Amen. We can all say amen right there. We know that according to Scripture, it's God's will that all men be saved. We know also that it's God's will that all men that if they're saved, that they're baptized. Amen. Jesus Himself was baptized. Walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist. Amen. We know that it is the will of God after salvation, this baptism. Go to the book of Acts, we find after they were saved and baptized, they joined the church. Over 3,000 souls saved in one day. Amen. And what the Bible says, and added unto the church. Amen. And so we know that that is the will of God for an individual to be saved, for an individual to be baptized, and then for the individual to join a Bible preaching, amen, Baptist church, amen. And that is the will of God according to Scripture. Then what happens after we join the church? The Bible says in the book of Romans that we're all members, but of one body. Amen. We become the body of Christ, each one having different gifts. You'll find that in the book of Romans. He begins to list those different gifts, and he says, verse number 6, having been gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, where the prophecy that begins to list all those different gifts. So once we're saved, we're baptized, we join the church, and we get busy about our Father's business. Amen? We get busy in the service. We get busy doing things for God. And listen, it's not about taking the food to the homeless, and there's nothing wrong with that, but listen, that's not the priority. The priority in doing the work for the Lord is spreading the good news of the gospel. Amen? That's priority. It is the greatest need of our day. It's the greatest need of lost sinners. They don't need a free meal. They need a free message. Amen? They need somebody to tell them that Jesus is still in the soul-saving business, still loves them, that God loves them, gave His Son to die for them. They need somebody to tell them that. Amen? That's the primary goal for the believer after they have been saved, baptized, joined the church, been discipled. They know how to take the Bible and tell somebody how to be saved. Then they are to go tell somebody else. Amen? Now listen, it goes a little further than that. We talk about giving and having gifts and things like that. It's mentioned here in the Scripture. And I'll read my Scripture in just a minute whenever I get ready. Anyway, but it's not about just going across the street and telling your neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's to help that missionary get across the seas or across the land. Amen? Go tell somebody. I can't go to South Dakota like I like to. I can't go to North Dakota and all these other different states, but I can send somebody. Amen? I can give them my money and send somebody, allow them to go in my place. And listen, God blesses us for doing so. Amen? Paul said there's the blessings and there's credit that goes towards your account. Amen. Because they was giving money to Paul, helping him to make the delivery of the message, supplying his needs, and God keeps the record. Amen. I'm glad that He keeps the record. Y'all help me. I'll preach this a little bit. Let me read my Scripture this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. According to Romans 12, verse number 2, you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. For I say, verse number 3, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one's members one of another. Having then gifts, here's the verse, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. or ministry, let us wait on ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which curse you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. The Bible says in verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, he's not talking to the lost, he's talking to the saved. In verse number 1, he says, I beseech you, brethren. Amen. Here in verse number 19, he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, verse 21, but overcome evil with good. I want to call your attention to a couple of things real quickly, and I'm going to try to move on as quick as I can, or at least try to anyway. I'm not going to guarantee how quick I'll go. But I want us to understand there is a will of God for the believer. Amen? Once we're saved, we're baptized, we join a church, we understand some things about our Bible, we get some understanding as the book of Proverbs teaches us, the book of Ephesians says, be not unwise, but knowing what the will of the Lord is, understanding what the will of the Lord is. It is God's will that we learn some things. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 teaches we ought to have an answer for every man. So we need to learn our Bibles, amen? We need to do some studying. We need to know some things about our Bible. Whenever we hear false teaching, we know that's not correct. And we can refute that. We can tell them, no, this is what the Bible says. Amen? And we can do that. But once we're saved and we're baptized and we join the church and we learn our place in the church, we all have gifts. We all have different gifts. Everybody can't preach. Everybody can't teach. Everybody can't sing. Everybody can't do all the same things. Amen? There's different offices. And we're all to find our place in the house of God and do the best that we can with the things and the gifts that God's given us. Amen? If God's given you an ability to teach, then hallelujah, you need to use that ability for the glory of God. If God's given you an ability to sing, you ought to sing for the glory of God. Amen? If God's given you a talent to play an instrument, you do that for the glory of God. And listen, those things that's listed here in Scripture, I wish I had time this morning, I don't, to go through all these, and I'll try to do that maybe a little later, but there's things that He's mentioned here. And he does talk about the exhortation. Maybe you don't have a gift of singing. You don't have the gift that God's given you to play an instrument, but you can exhort. What does that mean? That means exhortation. That means lifting one another up. You can be an encourager. Amen? There's a lot of people have that ability. Miss Carolyn that used to come here, she was great at that. Every time she'd come in the door, she'd have a smile on her face. Amen? No matter what was going on in her life, she had some battles. I mean, she fought some, probably still fighting some, but she'd come in with a smile on her face. Amen? And she said, hey, preacher, how you doing? And I said, I'm doing great. How you doing? And she was always good. Never complained about how she's doing. She was an exhorter. Amen? She'd lift up each other and lift everybody up that come around her because she was happy and she didn't let her problems get her down. Now, some people can't be like they're not natured that way. Amen? Sometimes our problems get us down and some of us, we can't help but show it. Listen, there's gifts of what I'm trying to get you to understand. There's gifts and there's different gifts. You can't play an instrument, you can't sing, but you can exhort. You can lift up. You can encourage. Amen. You can pray. Amen. In the ministry. And here he mentions the ministry. And he said, in the ministry, let us, verse number 7, or ministry, let us wait on ministry, nor teach. He that teaches on teaching. But when he talks about ministry, it's not so much as being a pastor or missionary. Everybody has a ministry. Yeah. Y'all with me? Yeah. Everybody has a ministry. What is your ministry? Well, it is, according to the will of God, it is to send forth the gospel message. Amen? That's everybody's responsibility. Amen? That's your personal responsibility as a saved individual, as a believer. It's your obligation, according to the will of God and the Word of God, to deliver the gospel message. Amen? That's your ministry. Well, how do I do that? Well, you do that by the way you live.
Yeah.
Amen. People are watching you. They're watching the things that you do. They're watching the places you go. They hear you talk about this God that you serve. They hear you talk about this Christ that is so-called the Son of God and so-called the Savior of the world. They hear you talk about those things, but yet they watch your life and see how you live. And many, many people, their ministries failing because the life they're living. The Bible says, let me give you this real quickly. Verse number one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, I said this a while ago and said again, he's not talking to the lost. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church, the saved, born-again believers. He's writing to the believers. And he's encouraging the believers to prove what is the perfect will of God. And the first thing that Paul discusses or Paul says is, I beseech you. That word beseech doesn't mean it's a command. He said, I'm not telling you got to do this. I'm requesting. I desire to see you do this. If you want the blessings of God on your life, this is what you'll do. Amen? Listen, it doesn't mean command, but it means entreat or desire or ask, request. It is a word that is used when the individual has a choice. You and I this morning as believers, we've got a choice. And Paul is saying that to the church. I beseech you, I'm telling you, I'm asking you, if you would do this, you have a choice. You can do it or you cannot do it. There's a consequence if you don't do it. There's a promise if you do it. Amen? All right? And so, listen, God has given man a free will in salvation. You can choose to be saved or choose not to be saved. Amen? We have a free will. We also have a free will for surrender. Notice with me, the first thing that Paul begins to talk about is that free will surrender. I beseech you, or I request of you, I'm asking of you to do this, which is to know the will of God. And it begins to deal with this thing called surrender. God said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8, He said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And it is man's choice to say, here am I, send me. Amen? That's man's choice. Every man has a choice. It is a surrender by the mercies of God. Notice your scripture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. We're only saved by the mercy of God. Amen? Amen. Listen, we're only what we are by the mercy and grace of God. Y'all help me. Amen? Amen. We only saved because of the mercy of God. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. Only by God's mercy in Christ, because of His blood, can a sinner present himself to God. Without Christ, you can't do that. Right. Amen? Amen? That's God's mercy. Scripture teaches us we're saved unto good works, but the good works of the Christian life are only by the mercies of God. We all deserve nothing but judgment. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And salvation is by the mercy of God through Christ. It is a surrender to a merciful God. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. And we can only surrender and do the work that God has for us because of His mercy. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 mentions God four times. It's not a surrender to a philosophy. It's not a surrender to a religion. You're not surrendering to the Baptist religion or the Baptist denomination. You're not surrendering to that. You're surrendering to God Himself. All right? Amen. Not to just any God, but Jehovah God. A merciful God. Now listen, Christ said in Matthew chapter number 11, verse 29, Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. Watch what He says in verse 29. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does that mean? That means that God does all the lifting. Whoop. Christ does all the lifting. Some people try to live the Christian life. And I've heard it said many times. I had a gentleman tell me one time, said, preacher, I can't live a dedicated Christian life. And I kind of scratched my head and I said, could you elaborate just a little bit on that? He said, I've tried to do it and I just can't. It's too hard to live a Christian life. And I never could understand how he could say that. But I do understand it now. The reason why they can say that, why individuals say that it's too hard to live the Christian life, It's simply because they have not surrendered unto the God of heaven, and they've never truly accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. Amen? They know of Him, they know about Him, but they don't know Him personally. They don't know Him intimately. Amen. They've not spent time in the prayer closet, amen, and talking with Him, and walking with Him, and understanding His will and His way. I'm telling you, if you let God get a hold of you, get a hold of your heart, there's no way you can say that I can't do that, that is too hard. Because He makes all things possible.
Amen.
Try to live the Christian life and they say it's too hard. They're trying to do it in their own strength. Can't do that. There are plenty of hardships in the Christian life, but the Christian life itself is not hard. Listen now, because the essence or the nature of the Christian life is to know the merciful God personally and intimately by the Spirit. The Bible says we call Him Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. He's my Father. My Father knows everything. My Father knows everything I need. He even knows what I need before I ever ask. My girls growing up, a lot of times I'd see their need. I knew what they needed. And I'd get it before that. And then they come to Eddie, I like to have, or I need whatever it was. And I said, well, that's all right. I've already gotten it. My Heavenly Father is the same way. Knows what I need forever asked.
Yeah.
Amen. And the Christian life now, it's not too hard for us. There's hardships. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There's hardships. And God never said it would be easy. He did say, my grace is sufficient. Amen. And I'll get you through it if you depend on me. Allow me to carry the load. And don't try to carry it yourself. The essence or the nature of the Christian life is to know God personally and intimately by the Spirit of God. And we're able to call Him Abba, Father. That's how close we are. That's the nature of the Christian. These people try to live a Christian life and say it's too hard. They don't understand the nature of the Christian life. They're trying to do it in their own strength. You can't get saved in your own strength. Amen? You can't go to heaven in your own strength. Somebody help me. Amen? You can't get saved by your own strength. You can't go to heaven by your own. You can't please the Lord in your own strength. Have to have that mercies of God.
Amen.
The better we know Him. Listen. The better we know Him, the better we know Him, the easier it is to surrender
Amen.
To Him. Amen? It is not His will for us to fear Him. There's a reverential fear. Don't misunderstand that. There's a reverential fear. We fear God because He's God. He don't want us to fear Him and the fact that we can't serve Him or surrender to Him. I've heard people say before that they would not ever surrender to the mission work because that Lord, they didn't want to go to Africa or some foreign country. They prayed God would send them somewhere where they'd have to be away from everything and be away from civilization. Listen, God's not a God that's foolish. He knows where He can use you. Everybody's got their own ministry. His will is not to be feared. Hudson Taylor said this, He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to Him. That sink in for a little bit. He gives His very best to those who leave the choice to Him. Amen? It's a surrender. It's a free will surrender. Notice He says in verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. He uses that term, present your bodies. The body is the entire person. It's your everything. It's your all. Amen? It's your family. It's your finances. It's everything. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
To present my body is to say, Lord, here's everything that I am. It's all in. It's all me. The songwriter wrote the song, I Surrender All. There's a big newsflash. That word all, guess what it means? It means all. Everything. What does that even mean? That means I give Him everything. I give Him my occupation. God, what is it you'd have me to do? I give Him my home. God, what would you have us to do in my home? Amen. Joshua said, choose you this day. It's your choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me in my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
And listen, to give Him our all, to present our bodies, mean we give Him everything. Scripture teaches us that God made man in His own image and gave him an incredible body by which he can fulfill God's divine purpose. I don't know if you've ever studied the human brain or not. It is amazing. It is amazing how powerful the human brain is. It is amazing how things in our world copy the brain. We have things in our day called modules. Most of our cars have modules. We have networks in our home. We have these little black boxes that come from the cable vision and stuff like that. Those things communicate. And the modules in your cars and your vehicles, those things communicate with one another. They have sensors all over your car. You have airbag sensors. If you're in a crash, it sensors, triggers the sensors, and blows out a big bubble and busts you in the nose and gets you powder all over the place and burns in all that goods. But listen, everything has a module and everything communicates. And that's just like the human brain. The human brain communicates. It takes in and it gives out. And it's amazing the power of the brain. And God gave us that brain to use for His glory and for His honor. Let me give you this. According to George Chahill, Science Digest, 1981, this has been quite a few years ago, he made this comment, said the human brain is the most complex arrangement of matter in the universe. The most complex. Guess who designed that? God did. Amen. The Bible, he says that according to the Bible now, the information the brain, the information in the brain equals that contained in 20 million separate books. Wow. God gave us a brain. You know what He expects us to do with that brain? Yeah, exactly. Use it. Amen. He gave us a brain to use it in. It's a surrender of the body. Not only do I give Him my mind, the Scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's giving God your mind. Giving your brain, your mind. Giving your hands, your feet. I mean, everything you have. Your eyes. What does it mean to give the Lord my eyes? That means you surrender what you see to the Lord. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Yes. Amen. Be careful what you look at. Surrender your ears to the Lord. And you surrender that body when you surrender your ears unto the will of God. You be careful what goes in those ears. Don't listen to rock and roll. You don't listen to ungodliness. You don't listen to wickedness. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, I'm good. I'm preaching good and running well. I know because it's quiet. Amen. Listen, you don't let that mess go in your ears. You protect your ears from the things that you hear. And when you sit in front of the television, says you be careful what you watch.
Amen.
Surrender your eye. Surrender your all. This is not part of my notes, but it's good preaching.
Amen.
Surrender your tongue. Preacher revival. Preacher revival meeting one time. This lady, she said, preacher. Now, I'm talking about it got quiet in the church. The Lord was moving on the hearts. People was on the altar. And this lady, just in the back, she spoke up and said, preacher, God's dealing with me. You spoke to me tonight through the Lord and through the message. She said, my tongue's my problem. I'm talking right in the middle of the service. And I told her, I said, honey, you need to lay that thing on the altar. Amen. Give that to the Lord.
Yeah.
Our tongue, our lips, our eyes, our everything. If you think about that, the Scripture teaches us to present our bodies to say, Lord, here I am, all of me. And it is Your will for me to perform the purpose You have for my life.
Amen.
Well, I could dig in right there for a while. Let's move on. Notice, if you would, I'm going to quit after this and I'll come back tonight and finish up. Notice, if you would, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, watch this now, a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Notice, this goes back to the sacrifices that was offered at the tabernacle. The sacrifice was offered as a whole in the tabernacle. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for every meat offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt, shall not be eaten. The entire sacrifice, the whole thing, had to sacrifice it all. Whenever you surrender your body, you don't surrender half of it. You don't just surrender your mind. You don't just surrender your feet to go to church, to be faithful to the church. You surrender your whole body to do the will of God. It is a sacrifice. Everything must be included.
Amen.
That's what God requires. Yes. It is the will of God. You cannot, listen real close, you cannot know the perfect will of God apart from full surrender. Apart from complete surrender. Everything must be surrendered. Most professing Christians have not done this. They profess faith in Christ and continue with the plans that they had before they were saved. Find that a lot. I know people, I work with people, say they're saved. But they've went about their life doing what they want to do. They cut out the large parts of their lives for their own will rather than God's will. They're not willing to surrender to God's will in everything. They surrender to what they want to do. Surrender to God is to have one master. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Either you live for yourself or you live for God.
Amen.
That's just plain Bible. Either we live for ourselves, or we live for God. When a person makes a choice, a major life decision, that choice is either their will or it's God's will. Amen? Whenever a person makes a life-changing decision, it's either their will or it's God's will. We have to make sure we understand, study the Scripture, spend time in prayer, line things up with the Scripture and know that if that is God's will or if that's something that I want to do. It could be, listen real close, it could be a good thing. Because the Scripture talks about the weights that so easily beset us. It could be a good thing, but it could not be the will of God. Amen? That's why we need to pray. Seek the Lord. That we'll know the will of God. I talked about the general will of God for all men being saved, baptized, join a church, serve the Lord, being busy about our Father's business. But then there's that specific will. That's what we're just talking about. The specific will that God has for all believers. Notice in the Scripture, it says, Paul is saying, I beseech you, brethren. Then he says, that ye present your bodies, which is your reasonable service. That is a specific will for every individual. Every born-again child of God. There is a specific will. With the help of the Lord, I'll come back tonight and try to finish this up. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us.